Victory comes, as that video says, victory comes by the Word of God. You know, I've been resting a lot in God's Word, as I do every week, but I believe there's a lot of Christians that are walking around our world powerless and unable to defeat evil, to be an overcomer, because they're not in the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, right? It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. This is where it gets. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. You know, I was telling a brother this past week, I said, there's never a time that you don't open the Word of God and it doesn't challenge you to change. We should be changing all the time. We should be changing constantly. And in a world that just, in a world that continues to get darker and harder to be in, we need to be evolving and changing in the Word of God more and more every day. Well, as I continue my sermon series within a sermon series today on walking like a Christian in these end times, I'm gonna be finishing up the passage I started a few weeks ago, hopefully, in the book of Romans chapter 12. So if you got your Bibles, you'll want to head on over to Romans chapter 12. You know, and something that I love more than anything is how God's Word continually challenges me to be different, challenges me to be better, to be a better Christian, to be a better man of God, right? To be better than I was the day before, amen? That's what the Word of God does. That's the reason why it's living and active. That's the reason why you need to be in it, unless you just don't want to change. You see, this past week I saw, I've been thinking a lot about victory, and I've been thinking a lot about overcoming this evil, to be an overcomer of evil, right? This past week I saw this announcement that it was made by a guy named Forrest Frank. Anybody hear of Forrest Frank? Yeah, he's an up-and-coming Christian artist, and this announcement that he made, he was convicted to not participate in the Grammys or the Dove Awards that he's getting ready to get an award for. And his exact words, I believe, was, you know, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to receive something for something Jesus has done. And he went on to say, it is Jesus' message, right? And he went on to say that Jesus is the greatest gift. You know, Jesus is the greatest gift. The greatest prize was the salvation that he received in Jesus Christ. Now, he also said that we should be living our lives for Jesus, because it is through his shed blood that our names are written in the book of life. Is your name written in the book of life this morning? The only way it gets written there is if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. Okay? To profess with your mouth Jesus is Lord every day, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then to follow Jesus. Is there evidence of your salvation in your life? It's vitally important to understand and to look in the mirror of God's Word and go, am I saved? I mean, the Bible says it, that we should examine ourselves, right? Am I saved? It's not that I question my salvation, because Jesus is the one holding that, but am I a good representation of Christ here on earth? Does my life look like I'm a born-again man of God, right? Now, Your name being written in the book of life should be pretty exciting, I would guess. It is for me. I mean, there's some days though, I have to be honest, there's some days I wake up and I just can't hardly believe it. Because I'm like, man, you know, I missed the mark yesterday, God. But my name is still there in the book. And I'm so thankful for that. There's no doubt about that. It's exciting, right? Of what Jesus Christ has done. Now, again, if you don't know if your name is in that book, you need to come and see me. And don't wait. Don't wait. You know what? Tomorrow may not come. You know, I've had a lot of brothers leave me in the last couple years. And I guarantee you they weren't thinking they were going home that soon. So if you don't know that your name is written in the book of life, I need you to get a hold of me. We need to sit down. We need to talk. We need to get into the Word together. And you need to make sure that your name is in that book. Okay? That's not a part of my message. That's just God. But here's the reality and the reason that we live a life that is radical, I believe. Radical in our world and pleasing to God is because we are His, right? Because our names are written in the book of life. We don't do it. We don't do this life. We don't live a radical life. We don't overcome evil with good because of anything other than Christ. See, we don't do it because family members or co-workers or fellow Christians because they're just so awesome. See, the reality is, in many cases, our family members, the people closest to us, our co-workers, they can be some of the hardest people to love radically. They are. It was interesting, though, you know, as I shared that story of Forrest Frank, it wasn't 24 hours. I stumbled on this another man of God, not even 24 hours after Forrest Frank had made his radically bold statement that he wasn't going to participate in receiving the worldly accolades that another Christian pastor called him out, basically saying this: if you're doing all this for Jesus, then basically you need to do your concerts for free. You need to promote Jesus for free. And there's this all-out attack on this man and his livelihood. He's got to make a living. God's called him to a platform, right? It was interesting, though, Christians tearing down other Christians. It really broke my heart when I thought about that. And the truth is, we see it all the time. We see it all the time, and we should expect this kind of hatred and persecution from the world in which we live, right? But from Christians? From Christians? And it made me reflect, you know what? Christians can be the worst. They can be so judgmental. They get so caught up in the worldly junk that they lose sight of why they're here. They're not here to promote a political leader or a movement in our world. That's bull. If you're a born-again believer, you are here to promote one thing and one person only, and His name is Jesus. But we see it all the time. Christians tearing down Christians. You know, it breaks my heart. So how should we respond, though, as Christians? How should we respond when people persecute us because of our stance on God's truth? See, that's the other thing. I don't have to identify with a political party to bring about persecution in my life. When I stand on God and His truth, it brings a whole different kind of persecution. It does. How should we respond when that happens? Or when God moves in your heart, right? To take a stance in this world. To stand up for His truth, when people insult us and falsely say all kinds of things against us, write this down. I need to be an overcomer of evil. That's what I need to be. In this world that is constantly bashing Christians and persecuting us for standing on God's truth, the one thing Christians need to be more than anything is I need to be an overcomer of evil. When you have a conviction from God to stand against something in the world, right? To stand against something in our world that is not of God, and the world, or here's the thing, even a brother or sister in the faith come and attack that stance, I need you to understand that is not from God. When I am standing on the truth of God's word and the world comes and attacks me, it's not of God, right? But here's the thing, when I'm standing on the word of God and a brother or sister in the faith comes and attacks me, that is not from God either. Now, that doesn't mean that they aren't of God. Remember, that doesn't mean that they are not of God. It simply means that their response is not of God. Their response is not of God, especially when it is not done in love. Everything should be done that we do as Christians should be done in love. And it should be, in these end times that we are in, Christians have got to be good at loving. And they got to be really good at overcoming evil. And as I said last week, not just overcoming evil in the world, but overcoming evil in our own lives. I see brothers and sisters being succumbed to evil in their own lives all the time. Marriages are being challenged. Marriages are being threatened. Families are being ripped apart. Why? Because Christians are not standing against evil. Evil is anything that is against God. Sin in our lives. You shouldn't be welcoming sin into your life. I get it. We stumble and we fall. But we don't just welcome it into our homes. You welcome it into your home, and I guarantee you right now, the enemy is going to rip your marriages apart. Going to rip your families apart. We got to be standing on the word of God. I need to be an overcomer of evil, amen? I need to be an overcomer of sin in this world. You see, the thing is, if it's not of God, then it is considered by God as evil. So that's just it. If it's not of God, it's evil. The Bible's definition of evil is anything that opposes God and His will, His character. Sin is evil, okay? Christians shouldn't do it. We stumble and fall, I get it. I'll be the first one to say I stumble and fall. But I shouldn't like it when I do. And I shouldn't just keep on doing it. You see, evil involves a deliberate or accidental, I need you to hear this. Evil involves a deliberate or accidental disobedience to God's law. Evil is a departure from God's perfect plan or created order. Evil is corruption or twisting of good for selfish purposes. Ultimately, my friends, evil is rooted in a rebellion against God. When I am sinning, even though I'm a Christian, if I am actively sinning and I am loving that sin, I am actually rebelling against God. It doesn't mean that I'm not saved, but it certainly does affect the fellowship that I have with God. Okay? So evil is also something that Christians experience. We experience. Now, I know that we are all You know, I know that we all have evil in us every day. It's called the flesh. The flesh is not our friend. Okay? You know, why do you think Paul said, man, I can't wait to get away from this flesh and be with God? Because it's hard to be in the flesh. The flesh is evil. The flesh wants to do anything and everything that satisfies it and not God. Okay? So the flesh wants to do what the flesh wants to do, and it usually wants to do what is opposite of what God wants you to do. Okay? Galatians 5:19 through 21. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you as I did before that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's what God's word says. The reality is we have to become an overcomer of evil, okay? We have to become an overcomer of evil, and it starts within ourselves, okay? It starts within ourselves. We have to learn to overcome the flesh. We do. How many of you are battling the flesh? Truly battling the flesh every single day. We should be. In order to be an overcomer of sin, the sinful nature, we better be at war with our own flesh first. I am convinced in my own life that the day that I don't battle the flesh starts getting all the attention. And it's usually not glorifying God at all. Okay? So here's the thing. The reality is we have to be overcomers of evil. We need to learn to overcome the flesh. Jesus said it this way, right? Jesus said we would have to deny the flesh in order to follow Him, right? That's what He said. Matthew 16:24. Jesus said, if anyone would come after Me, that means if anyone would come to Me for salvation, they want what I give them to get to heaven. If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. Right? So one of the first places that we need to start overcoming evil with good, right, is within ourselves. You know, I think we're really good at pointing out evil out in our world. You want to know why people look into the church and they say hypocrites? Because we are hypocrites. Because we've got Jesus, and we think, well, that's all we need. Oh, we got Jesus, so I'm saved, and that's really all that matters, but there's so much more to it than that. No, we should be actively overcoming sin in our lives. It's not just that we got Jesus and our ticket's punched and we're going to heaven. While that may very well be true, there's a whole world out there that needs to know Jesus. Wouldn't you agree? And I don't think they're going to be following Me if I look just like the other sinners in the world that's not trying their best to put Jesus first in his life. There has to be something different about us, right? We need to be overcoming evil with good, right? We are also called to be an overcomer of evil that comes against us. Okay? So we need to overcome the evil within us, but we also need to become an overcomer of evil that comes against us, right? And when we do overcome, here's the thing. When we do overcome evil with good, we will be blessed according to God's word, Matthew 5:10 through 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Who's righteous? Jesus, right? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, be glad because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Now, this is be for another sermon, another talk, probably a Bible study, one-on-one, whatever. But just because there's a lot of persecution in our lives that come on us because of us. God's talking about when you're persecuted because of Him. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that all persecution that comes against you is because of Jesus, right? Because there's a lot of times we go in our flesh into the workplace or into our families or whatever, and somebody's they're carrying a chip around on their shoulder, and I just go to battle with them, and then all of a sudden they start persecuting me. Just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that I'm persecuted because of Jesus. But when I'm walking in Christ, and I'm loving like Christ, and I'm living like Christ, and they persecute me, that's persecution that Jesus is talking about. There's a huge difference. I've heard Christians say all the time, and their action didn't line up with anything in God's Word, and they go, "Well, you know what? I'm persecuted for Jesus." Yeah, right. That's bull. No, when you live like Jesus and you love like Jesus and you get persecuted, now all of a sudden you can get close to identifying with Jesus. Okay? So just so we're clear, not all persecution is in the name of Jesus just because you're a Christian. A lot of persecution you bring on yourself because of your own fleshly desires to be right or to be wrong, whatever it may be, or to make sure they're wrong. I don't think Jesus did that. He preached God's truth, right? He shared the truth of the Word. And He loved people who were absolutely unlovable. So church, until that day, and here's the thing. Evil is going to be all around us until Jesus comes back and takes me home, or until He takes us home, takes His church home, right? Evil is going to be here. It's not going anywhere. Okay? So you might want to buckle up and get prayed up and get in the Word of God every day and get ready, because it's going to be waiting for you when you get up tomorrow. It's going to be waiting for you whenever you leave this church today. The question becomes, are you going to invite it in? Or are you going to stand against it? Are you going to be succumbed to evil in the world? Or are you going to become an overcomer of evil with good? That really is the question. Okay? So, and just so you know, the day is coming when Jesus is going to return. It's coming. We're knocking on the door, baby. There is no doubt in my mind and in my spirit that we are knocking on the door. Now, I can't give you a date because God, I'm not that special. But I know we're supposed to be ready, because the Bible said He will come like a what? A thief in the night. That means it's going to happen like this. And just so you know, it's not like those Left Behind book series that everybody, all of us read, where all of a sudden your bodies are going up into the air. It's not going to be that way. No, you want to know what it's going to be like? Christians are going to be here and they're going to fall over dead. They're going to fall over dead, and the Spirit's going to go up and be with Jesus. And then all of a sudden, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be COVID 592 or whatever that took all these Christians out. I'm telling you. The road's been set. You know, the road's been set for the enemy to be able to step into his little platform for a little while, and he's going to say, "Well, the aliens abducted them," or "COVID killed them all." It just so happened that it just killed all Christians. Come on. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. But here's the thing. What are we supposed to be doing until that day comes? You know, I don't get so caught up on when it's going to happen, because the reality is there's a good chance that I'm going to die before it happens. But as we talked about many, many weeks ago, nothing stands in the way of it happening. So it could happen today. So if God gives me a day and I'm still here and I know that I'm a born-again believer, I know that when I die, I'm going to be with Him. If I'm here, how am I supposed to be living my life for Him, right? So until that day comes, my friends, we are called to walk like Christians. We are called to what? We are called to be representatives of Christ. I want to read to you again the passage we've been reading for the last 3 weeks. And I want to just read verses 17 through Romans 12, 17 through 21. And it says this: Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I want to just wrap this sermon series up within the sermon series that I started 3 weeks ago on this passage. And again, like I shared last week, we are called to be walking like Christians. And I say this with the deepest conviction in my heart, is we need to be walking like Christians, the Christians that God says we're supposed to be, not who we think Christians should be. You know, if I'm walking around and I'm tearing down people in the name of Jesus, and I say I'm walking like Jesus, you're sending a very bad message to the world in which we're living. Because that's not how Jesus walked. So we need to walk like Christians, and we need... And one of the ways that we do that is to love radically, right? I mean, a radical love that looks past somebody who's hurt me, who's persecuted me, who's trying to hurt me or my family. Sometimes it's within your family, right? Sometimes it's within your family that somebody says, look, I don't want to listen to this stuff. I don't want to hear this Jesus stuff. I don't want you. You know what? It'd be better if you were not here. Okay? I've had that said to me by some of the closest people. And here's the thing. What do you do? What's my response? Well, I honor what they ask, but I also do it in love. I love radically, right? We are called to love radically. And again, I know that, you know, I know how challenging this can be. How challenging last week's message was for us to love radically, right? To love the enemies, love someone who hurt your family. I get it. I get all of that stuff. But here's the thing. That was only the beginning of the challenge, was to love radically. That was the beginning of the challenge. We are called to love radically, and we're called to, if you're taking notes, write this down. Radical love overcomes evil with good. That's the thing. Radical love overcomes evil with good. Now, the next several verses, I believe, truly summarize the core of walking like a Christian. This is how we should be living our lives. You see, if we are walking in the same love that Christ walked in, when He walked into our lives, right? Does anybody remember when Christ walked into your life? Three of you? Come on. If that is you this morning, we really need to talk seriously. Christ did not walk into your life and you forget it like you forget everything else in years. There's no way. No, when Christ walked into your life, it radically changed your life. And if it didn't, please come. We need to talk because time is probably short. okay? Seriously. I know what happened whenever Christ walked into my life. And I was going one way and he radically changed me another way. No, that's what he does. Okay? So he radically, this should be us. This should be our walk. And I'm here to also testify and say, I don't get it right all the time. I'm a work in progress. I get it. But I can tell you, some of the people that are closest to me that really push my buttons, I've gotten a whole lot better at killing them with kindness and loving them right where they are. And you know what? What's amazing is I'm starting to see a shift. It's not about me winning or losing. It isn't. It's about Jesus. It's about what he can do. And let me tell you, radical love overcomes evil with good. We will be forgiving. We will be willing to forgive if we're walking in his love. If we've experienced his grace, we're going to be willing to pass it on, right? We're going to be graceful. We're going to others, right? Something I think we need to be reminded of as well is when the Bible tells us, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Something that you need to understand, you're not excusing his sinful behavior. That's not what the scripture's saying. You're not excusing his wickedness. Here's what it is. You are recognizing where he is at, that he is a sinner in need of God's grace. And then you forgive him. Not because you're excusing his act of sin, right? But because you were once there too. Right? Do you remember the day you were saved? Do you remember the life you were walking before Christ? You didn't deserve what he gave you, right? But somebody recognized that you were lost. And they prayed for you. And they prayed for you. And they loved you in spite of you. And then all of a sudden, Jesus came in and he was real, right? There was a time when you were on the outside looking in, whether you want to believe it or not. There was a time when you were an enemy of God, just like they were, or they are. And the truth is, we love those people in spite of their sins, just like Christ loved you in spite of your sins, right? So let's look at some practical application of this whole being an overcomer of evil with good, right? And what it looks like. Well, verse 17a says what? Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Number one there. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. When someone hurts you or hurts someone that you love, right? Our instinct is to what? Retaliate, right? Come on. I'm just as much flesh as your flesh, right? We want to retaliate. We are quick to say, I hear people say this a lot, and they use God's word, and it's not right. An eye for an eye, baby. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, which I can promise you has been misapplied, okay? Jesus said this in Matthew 5:38 through 42, said this. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you, right? Now, I get it. Our natural response when someone wrongs us is to get even. We want to even up the score, or we want to one-up them, right? That's what we want to do. It's like, I'll show them. They did this. I can be a whole lot more vicious. But Jesus encourages us to take the high road and do good to those who wrong us. God's word says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Now again, your lack of response is not agreement with what they have done. Okay? Your lack of response is a response to God. It's a response to God and to please Him and let Him be God. Number two, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Okay? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. You know, there was a time whenever I would walk through life and I said, you know, I don't care what people think about me. I don't care. But wait a minute, God's word says something here, right? Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Church, we should strive to live honorably in the eyes of everyone. Everybody. Not just when you're at church with your fellow brothers and sisters, right? I've had several situations where someone wasn't happy about the way I did something, so they attacked my character. It happens, right? They attacked who I was in the Lord. Now, what was so amazing, here's the thing that was so amazing to me when I look back on it. And there's been some pretty awful, vicious attacks. What was so amazing to me when I look back over those things is, you know what? I never had to say a thing. I never had to try to defend myself or prove the opposition wrong. Never had to. Never had to do that. You see, when you live your life to please God in all areas of your life, the people around you will defend you. Right? The people around you will defend your character. Now hopefully they do it in love, right? But all I'm saying is we are called to live lives that please God, not man. We're not called to please man, right? We are to live lives to please God. And in pleasing God, one of the things that we do is we live at peace. We live honorable lives in the eyes of everyone. Okay? Which leads to the next verse. Number three, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, when I look at the world in which we live, it is easy to look and see that peace isn't probably possible, right? I mean, I've tried to go back and watch the news. I just can't do it. I'm sorry. I can't. And maybe that's going to be bad for me. I don't know. I can't turn on any news station at this point and feel good in my spirit. I can't. I can't do it. Because there's no peace. There's no peace in it. And when you look at everything that's going on in our world, peace isn't possible. I get it. They might get somebody to sign a peace treaty or whatever. Give it time, okay? Give it time. They'll be at war again. Guaranteed. It's the cycle. It's the way it's been. Okay? God's word says, though, but how should I respond in the midst of the world that is without peace? God's word does not say live at peace with everyone. It's not what God's word says. God's word is saying, if it is possible, as far as it depends on me, live at peace with everyone. That means that I'm not a part of the problem. That's all that means. It doesn't mean that I agree with everyone. It doesn't mean that I agree with everything that's being said or disagree. What God's word is saying, as far as it depends on me, don't be a part of the problem. I am to love the people around me, whether I agree with them or not. And again, it doesn't mean that we have this close relationship. Okay? So again, that means that I am to do everything in my power to not be a part of the problem in the world. I see a lot of Christians, or at least people who claim to be Christians, that are a problem. They are a problem in this world. That is not, look, I don't care who they are. I don't care what they think. God's word says that as a Christian, I shouldn't be a part of the problem. I should be a part of the solution. So when Christians, I used to follow this one pastor man. He just wanted to pick a fight with everybody. And at first he was like, I loved how his passion for Jesus. But then he started wanting to pick a fight with everyone. And then I realized that's not of God. It's not. No, we are to be peacemakers. We are to be peacemakers in this world. Again, I'm not to be a part of the chaos and the animosity in our world. I am to be a part of the solution. You see, being a child of God, I should display a peace that surpasses all understanding. Amen? I should. We are called to be peacemakers. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Mark 6:11. And if any place will not welcome you, here's the other thing that we need to understand. Mark 6:11, and if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet when you leave as a testimony against them. Look, when you're going in and you're and I don't care if it's family, I don't care who it is in this world, but if you're walking in love the way Jesus calls us to walk in love, and we go into a situation and they don't want any part of that Jesus, there will come a time when you have to do this. Shake the dust off your shoes and move on. Okay? Doesn't mean that you hate them. Doesn't mean anything other than, you know what? Sometimes the best thing is to not be a part of their lives. Okay? I'm to shake the dust off my shoes and move on. Again, this is a symbolic act to show that you have left a person or place who has rejected your message of peace, right? Number four, do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Look, there is no better place. Let me say this when I was thinking about this week. There is no better place than to be in the presence of God Almighty. Amen? I mean, it's like, man, when I'm in the presence of God Almighty, there is no better place to be. But there is no worse place to be than in the presence of God Almighty when you're an enemy of God, right? Christians are to leave judgment and vengeance to God. And we should never, never take matters into our own hands. Never. We are to leave room for God's wrath, right? We are to respond like Jesus responded. 1 Peter 2:23, when they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Right? Church, when we take matters into our own hands, and I'm standing before you as one who has taken matters into his own hands many times. But here's the thing, when I don't take matters into my own hands, I'm actually sending a message to God. Let me say this, when I take matters into my own hands, I'm sending a message to God that I don't think he's going to take care of the problem. As though God isn't big enough to take care of your little problem. Right? But the reality is, when I do this, when I don't take matters into my own hands, now I'm saying, God, I trust you for the outcome, and I know that you're going to deal with this person the way that you want to deal with him, right? The question becomes, do you trust God with your life? Do you trust God with your life? Will you trust him that he will do what is best for you in those hard situations as well? And I get it. Many of us want to respond like Jonah, right? God, I knew. Here's the thing. We want to respond like Jonah. God, I knew they would repent. I knew that they would turn to you. I knew that they would be saved. And I wanted you to destroy them. Church, look. The goal for God is not to destroy people, no matter how awful they are. No matter how bad you think they are. You think about your worst enemy in this life, and you would probably think, yep, I've got one or two or three or ten or whatever. And what I'd really like to see is God destroy them, remove them. But like Jonah, he knew what the plan, what God's plan and his character was. To restore them, to redeem them, to change them into men and women that are glorifying to him and his purpose here on earth, right? You see, I wonder if the people that shared the good news with us would have felt that way. Where would we be today, right? Where would we be today if those, that circle of little old ladies down in this basement weren't praying for John? I wonder where I would be today. I could tell you a few places I think I was heading. Divorce, death, drunkenness, maybe homelessness. I mean, really. That was the path I was headed on. And I ran through this church as arrogant as anybody could be. Because I wasn't saved. Last verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. All I can say is this. God wins. You know what? God wins. I've read the last page of the Bible. And I know how the story ends as Matthew West sings it. If you are a child of God, evil has no place in your life. Okay? It starts with you. It starts with you and it starts in you. So I ask you this morning, what is hindering you? What is hindering you overcoming evil with good? What's hindering you? What sin? And the last thing I want you to write down is this. Become an overcomer of evil. Become an overcomer of evil. I know it's not easy to overcome evil. It is not. That's why God sent Jesus. That's the thing. That's why God sent Jesus. You can't do it. You can't overcome evil. Because in all honesty, the Bible says there's nothing good in us. So how can we overcome evil with evil? That's why he sent Jesus, to overcome evil with good. You see, in order to overcome evil, both in our lives and in this world around us, it will take a transforming power of God. Every day. Every day. God is calling us to be transformed into overcomers of evil. That's what he's asking. I'll leave you with a few thoughts on this call to be transformed to overcome evil with good. Number one, allow God to transform you. That's the thing. You have to allow God to transform you. Don't let the pressures of the world. Here's the thing that I need every Christian to hear that I ever speak to in the days ahead even. Don't let the pressure of the world, the pressures of the world, force you into unchristian actions. That's what's happening in our world today. Right? Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Church, the only way we begin to overcome evil with good is to allow Christ to rule in our hearts. We got to give Christ the throne of our lives. You got to get off the throne and you got to allow him to be on the throne. Number two, allow God to be the one to transform your relationships. Quit trying to change people. You can't do it. You know what you can do though? Pray for them. Allow God to transform your relationships. Number three, allow God to transform your outlook. You know, that's one of the reasons why I had to shut off all the stuff. Because all the stuff was starting to dictate my outlook on life. It started to dictate my outlook on other Christians. We need to allow God to transform our outlook, right? Ask God to give you a right view of yourself, right? A right view of others and a right view of your enemies. I'm here to tell you, you will experience victory. And the last thing that I'll say is this. Ask God to bring His transformation power into your life, your relationships, and your future. Let's pray. Father, we come before you and I thank you for your word. I thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for your son, Jesus. And the transforming power that brought us to a place of recognizing that we needed him as our Lord and Savior. But God, it cannot stop there. So God, I pray in Jesus' name that you will pierce our hearts, that you will cause us to reflect on the wrong that we do and go to battle against it. But God, then that we would take that and that we would love our enemies and love the people out in our world in a way that will reflect your love for us. God, you're an amazing God. And I just know that if you transform me, you can transform a whole lot of other people. God, help us to be your hands and feet. Help us to be awesome representatives of you in this world. We love you and we just commit all these things to you. In Jesus' name, amen.